Hello and welcome everyone to Stepping Into Sovereignty, Activating the Fierce Love of the Sacred Feminine, where wisdom keepers from all over the globe are summoning up the courage to take decisive and loving action to create the future we desire. I'm your host, Kathy Forrest, founder of Celestial Forest Institute, and we're here today with TJ Bartel. TJ is a best-selling author, a transformational guide, a workshop leader, a tantra master, and a relationship coach. Welcome, TJ. I'm so excited to have you on the call today.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
And I am really intrigued and excited about your topic, which is the evolution of the feminine and the survival of humanity. So let's just talk about that for a minute. When you talk about the evolution of the feminine, and what does that have to do with the survival of humanity? What were you getting at with that title?
Well, the truth of the matter is, historically speaking, and I've had some clients who were historians, this stuff. And Deepak Chopra teaches this, as well as a lot of other people, that there were 20 different species of humans besides us that didn't survive.
Right.
And the difference between them and us was the female mind. Mm. So the female mind evolved, thereby allowing more insight and intuition and the ability to see more than one thing at a time, to multitask in ways that men cannot. So I'll give you an example that was given to me a long, long time ago. A bunch of us men go out and we got our spears and our clubs and we go hunting. And sometimes we get something, sometimes we don't. At some point, a woman says, "Hey, you know what? If one of you runs through those bushes, these ferrets are going to come out of that bush. And if you guys stand over here with your spears, you're going to get some of them. Or if you guys run over this way and you can get the deer to go around there, there's actually a little area where they get stuck and they can't go anywhere. You can go in there and get them," et cetera, et cetera. "Don't go in those bushes. They're poisonous. But give me some of those bushes. I need to make some tea for somebody sick. Mm-hmm. Grab me those berries, not those. You guys go chop down some wood," et cetera, et cetera. And being in our masculine, we're very one topic focused. Now everybody has the ability to tune up, turn up the volume or turn down the volume on their masculine or feminine. Mm-hmm. But historically speaking, it was those type of decisions that were made from the female mind that allowed our species to survive. Now, Daniel Amen's got a great book, Superpowers of the Feminine Mind, something like that. Mm-hmm. And the experts say that you have a woman has at least 10 times more neural pathways for potential connections than a man. And mm-hmm. the comparison is, you know, men are bigger and stronger physically. And there's, you know, very few women who are going to be as strong as men if they do the same sports, almost zero. Mm-hmm. And in the same capacity, women have the ability to multitask and to function in different realms at the same time in ways that the male mind does not.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So how did we get here? Because it feels to me like our society has all but forgotten that.
Yes, our society has. If you go back to the ancient tantras, the tantra texts, we lived in a matriarchy. Mm-hmm. And the only time that we had any type of war was when one of the guides would look in the distance and say, "Hey, you know, about 50 miles away down the hill, there's a bunch of guys carrying swords and weapons heading this way." Mm-hmm. And the women who ran the show were dakinis, high priestesses. Mm-hmm. They would take a certain group of men down to the river and they would get them to step more and more into their masculine by amping up the energy in their pelvis, and get them to be focused on fighting. And they would send us off and we would fight. And when we came back, we were not allowed back in the village with the other women and children until the dakinis deemed us whole. And they would have to do so by loving us. And so some guys would come back sooner, but until you were free of PTSD and anger and all these other things, you stayed down by the river and worked with the Dakinis and you utilized the ancient techniques for moving the energy that you might have gotten skewed with, breath, movement, sound, and visualization. And at some point, the men are deemed whole and they get to come home.
Wow. Now,
at some point, you know, men took over.
Right. And
male ego has, you know, at that time, I believe, saw the threat, saw powerful women as threats. The whole, you know, burning women to the stake. These are women who were questioning authority, who were thinking for themselves. Mm-hmm. And because men are bigger and stronger physically, they were able to get away with it.
Wow, thank you. You have just answered a question that I've spoken into but didn't have all of the history of for years. So how do we get, what is your theory? How do we get back to a more balanced society? What needs to happen?
We're actually doing, you know, thanks to Donald Trump becoming president, a lot of women who were not doing anything to further the cause of the equal rights of mm-hmm. women and others who have gotten up and rallied together. More women are involved in politics and government right now than ever before.
Right.
And that's what we need women to be the vice president. We need women to be the president. We need women to be, you know, more senators. We need more women in our government. And we need to finally pass the Equal Rights Amendment for after all these, you know, years and years and years, you know, mm-hmm. 1923 was when they first started talking about it. So we also need men like me and people I know to stand up for the women and say, yes, women deserve equal pay, equal treatment, and protection from other men who would do them harm. And we have to get rid of all the fear-mongering men who don't want change. The men who they can be decent men in all other aspects of life. Mm-hmm. They might be a good father and a kind boss to their employees, and they might even be a decent husband. Mm-hmm. But it's similar to racism. You know, as soon as Obama became president, all these people who weren't really thinking much about racism got triggered. Mm-hmm. And I actually learned this from a friend of mine, Joel Weirich, who was for 15 years the Chamber of Commerce president, the Black Chamber of Commerce, and he helps Black people get businesses together and successful. Mm-hmm. And he's mixed. Mm-hmm. But he said as soon as Obama became president, all the guys he knew that were white started saying things like, well, white privilege doesn't exist. And his interpretation was, look, they're all right with us Black people doing all right in sports and things like that, but
right.
They want to work for us. They don't want us to be their boss. They don't want us to be their president. And so those guys got triggered, and that's why, you know, it opened the door for Donald Trump.
Sure.
Same thing is true of women. And you know, there's a lot of men who are intimidated by women, including Donald Trump. That's why if a woman stands up to him, she's nasty.
Right.
So we need to get those guys out of politics, you know, and I've had these arguments with people who support the idea that somehow white men are the most superior species on the planet, and that all that hate and stuff is Darwin's natural elimination, and that's how we're going to evolve. And I say the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's the people like us who are more liberal meaning we're willing to change, we're willing to grow, we're willing to accept that we have faults and change them, we're willing to take care of our bodies, and we're willing to eat differently, and we will inherit the earth. And these other guys who are chomping down buckets of KFC every day and swearing at the TV and yelling all the time, and they're angry. When we're angry, when we're upset, when we're in fear, our immune system is suppressed. Those guys are all going to become a smaller and smaller group. And the people who take care of themselves are getting to be a bigger and bigger group. You probably know this, but 80% of the people who buy self-help books are females.
Right.
And most of the people in the workshops are women.
Right. I bet they are. So there are women stepping up. There are women that are, deciding to wake up and step into more positions of power. How can a woman, you know, historically, it has looked like in order for a woman to survive in a masculine profession, she has to lose her feminine tools and become more masculine. How can a woman thrive in a masculine profession without doing that?
That is a great question. See, so you, I imagine that you're pretty familiar with the energy system in our body. Mm-hmm. The energy center is called chakras, right? Mm-hmm. The chakras are dials. They're like, if I had a guitar, you know, I have six strings. Mm-hmm. I need to tune each string for the guitar to function properly. Mm-hmm. The same is true for our bodies. Mm-hmm. And what people habitually do that doesn't serve them is abandon their pelvis. Many, many reasons why. Because when a woman's really embodying her pelvis, she will get a lot more attention from men. Mm-hmm. She could potentially be more likely to be sexually harassed. Mm-hmm. And it's harder to accomplish when you're completely in your feminine. Mm-hmm. When you're fully in your feminine, you really don't feel like doing much. Just, you know, if you look at, for me, for example, when I drop into my feminine, I just want to be entertained. I don't want to do anything.
Right.
The habit, and this is happens to men and women, is they abandon the energy in their pelvis. And the driver's seat of a female body is the pelvis. The driver's seat of a male body is the pelvis. Literally, having energy flowing in our genitals will keep us in our main state. Mine is masculine, yours is feminine. Mm-hmm. But what happens is men pull out of it because they get emasculated or they start having conflicts with a masculine woman. And I don't want to fight, so I just basically hand her over, you know, my energetic testicles. And what women do is they pull out of their feminine chakra and then they work from their power center and their heart center to get things done, to get things done. But the truth is that's not comfortable for the body. It can create all kinds of illness and dysfunction. So what I teach women and men to do is to, first of all, do a meditation that I teach called the Essentials, which connects you to the earth and the sun. Mm-hmm. You did one very similar before we started this. Mm-hmm. In fact, you can find this, you know, on SoundCloud. It's Essentials Meditation for free. Mm-hmm. And it gets you fully present. And then depending on what you have to do that day, you know, you need to tune your body in. So for example, if you said, I've got the most important speech that I have to do and it requires me being in my masculine to a certain degree because I have to do X, Y, and Z, I would say, okay, keep your energy in your pelvis, in your genitals, and feel your hips moving. Don't give that away, but turn up the volume in your heart chakra, your heart center, because that's your masculine chakra. Energy mm-hmm. comes out of it. Mm-hmm. Very similar to if you have a remote control and you open it up and you see the batteries, they're flipped, mm-hmm. just like the human body. So this is my minus sign, it's your plus sign, mm-hmm. and vice versa down below. Mm-hmm. So turning up the volume in the masculine allows you to do all the masculine things without abandoning your feminine. And when you do it that way, you actually have more words. You have a broader spectrum of ways of articulating your needs and desires and thoughts and lessons. Mm-hmm. When you're masculine, you're more singular focused. Mm-hmm. And so having them all balanced, never abandoning any of the chakras, but keeping the majority of your energy always in your pelvis, mm-hmm. but being able to turn that up. And now if you're somebody who has a hard time in communication, sometimes it's the throat chakra that needs to be tuned up and turned up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But never, never do I recommend anybody ever abandoning their pelvis. Mm-hmm.
So you're a relationship coach. Why? And especially now, I know that now everybody's under a lot of stress and a lot of, everybody's stuff is up. But why historically have relationships felt so difficult, and especially in the U.S., and why do you feel like the divorce rate is so high?
That's another great question. And I honestly believe it is because we have been taught to be competitors. Mm-hmm. We have not been taught how to be in relationship. It takes skills to be in relationships. You know, we get taught skills to make money, skills to make sure that we're able to be law-abiding, tax-paying citizens. Mm-hmm. But nobody teaches us the massive differences between the male and female mind and the differences between the male and female body. So what happens, I call this the alpha-beta syndrome. In general, Women are attracted to men who can provide protection and security and support. Men who have more stillness and strength in their body. Those are all masculine qualities. Mm-hmm. Then when in a relationship, if the woman has to go out and get things done, she has to be in her masculine, you get two masculine people and you lose polarity. It's like putting the batteries in a remote control, but not flipping one of them.
Right.
Does not turn the TV on. And when that happens in our body, it does not turn the relationship on. So the relationships, they get depolarized. Mm-hmm. And then it's very much like a magnet. If you ever play with magnets, you try to push them together and they won't go together, but you flip one over, and boom. Mm-hmm. That's when they're polarized. This is depolarizing. It's static energy between the relationship that it draws an aversion. And so I don't know what it is about her, but she just makes me. Mm-hmm. And there are energetic practices to get rid of that. So I tell my couples, I say, drop the story and move the energy and get the magnetics going properly. Because otherwise, we're the human mind, we've been taught to figure out what the problem is. Mm-hmm. And to blame. It's her fault or it's my fault. I should beat myself up or I should leave this person or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And the truth is they're just stories. And we're always going to find reasons why we feel the way we do. Mm-hmm. The neural association kicks in and pretty soon those two people have so many negative associations with each other that are completely unnecessary that mm-hmm. the relationship just falls apart. So I have people do exercises, and, you know, get out of it, stop talking, lay together, do a certain type of breathing and meditative exercise. Then they're polarized and those stories seem silly.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. Beautiful. So I realize that nowadays everybody has stories about why they're so unhappy, but why do you think that people seem ironically, I mean, we live in a country that, you know, we have access to just about everything. Why do you feel like people still can't really connect and be happy?
They don't have the tools that they need. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of learning the things that we learn in school, if I was ruler of the educational system, the first thing we would learn would be white tantra. Mm-hmm. And in the ancient tantra days, there's red tantra and white tantra. Mm-hmm. White tantra is all about self-love. Mm-hmm. It's about strengthening your body and making it flexible and opening up all the pathways mm-hmm. by utilizing your breath. Most people only use about 5% of their lungs capacity. And that means that they're not moving out the old energy. Mm-hmm. And what is energy? Energy is just light carrying information. So if you have this old information in your system, you're not able to adapt to the new information. So people need to be able to clear all that old stagnant energy and air out of their body and get rid of the old circular stories that go on and on mm-hmm. and get rid of the programming. This is the main reason why I think people are unhappy, is because in America and many parts of the world, but I'll just stick to America for now, the message that we get, the mass hypnosis, is you are not enough. You need to have a degree. You are not enough. You need Jesus to save you or you're going to burn in hell for eternity. You're not enough. So you need this magic pill. You're not enough. So you need this. You need this. So we are consumers. And the truth is we are enough just how we are. We don't need any savior. The savior is within us. If people are taught that, then they stop other referencing and learn to self-reference. And when we self-reference, we're able to make decisions that are good for us, good for our life, and good for our relationships, and therefore we're happier. Now, every single relationship, every single experience from moment to moment is directed by a program, just like computers. Programs are algorithms. Their algorithms are just questions mathematically put out there. So most people are asking questions based on this programming. Why am I not enough? Why can't I have this? Why do they have it? Why does this person get that? Why don't I? What's going to go wrong next? And all these horribly disempowering questions. Mm-hmm. So I teach people how to wipe those programs clean and set new programs. And in order to do that, you have to get out of the normal, like right now we're in beta wave brain thinking. You have to get out of that and into alpha or theta or gamma or delta. And you can do that through meditation and hypnosis, even sex. You get out of that brain wave and then you install new programs. And the new programs can have different questions. Instead of asking these questions that drive you crazy, you can ask questions like, how much time can I spend today vibrating in the energy of unconditional love? Which, by the way, is our natural state. If you picture a small child, I picture my 2-year-old granddaughter, She is just a bundle of joy. She has not learned to judge people based on their clothes or how much money they have or what color their skin is or who they voted for or any of that BS. Our natural state is euphoric and blissful and loving and abundant. And then we get programmed. Oh, yeah, you're not quite so special. What are you smiling about? Or, you know, whatever shame. Don't touch yourself there. Damn it. You know, we get traumatized and programmed, and then we become like everybody else. Why am I not enough? And, you know, instead of looking at people like, there's somebody I haven't met, how exciting. It's, you know, a judgment that we got from our parents or our teachers or our politicians or our favorite shows.
We all need to go spend time with those bikinis. So,
and the male version of that is a DACA.
Perfect. Yeah. So how, in your opinion, can people be the best version of themselves?
That's a great question too. First, I have people write down a list of the things about themselves that they would like to change. And we don't start with a bigger house and a, you know, hotter husband or, you know, whatever. It's qualities. Like, what are the things that you could bring in that will make you happier, more grateful, more tolerant, more patient, more kind, more productive, more successful, and write those down. And embody that. I call this your future self program. And then find out where you are. There's a meditation to do that as well. Where am I in my life? And where do I want to go? And then you create a daily practice, which includes several different kinds of meditations that bring you closer and closer to your future self. And now the future self program doesn't have to be realistic, because my future self program is perfect. And I know that I'm a human being, and in a human being, I will never be close to perfect. But if I start acting or thinking in a way that doesn't serve my highest good, I can pull out my wallet and pull this little card out and say, oh yeah, he's infinitely patient, unshakable. Nobody can get under his skin. That's who I want to be. I'll read those, you know, other 10 qualities, put it back in my wallet and embody it. See, that's who I am. I'm not going to let this person, just because they're wearing a mega hat, I'm not going to let me say, you know, whatever it is, that the little triggers that I might have in those moments. I have to do my work every single day to be who I want to be. And so does everybody else. First, we have to make a plan. Who do we want to be? And then how do we get there?
Dang. I hear you speak, and it's like I want to have TJ Bartel pills that I can pass out to everyone. So why do you think that, how do I put this? I know that a lot of us, part of the reason that we can't get to the place where you are is because we're not healthy. And if we don't feel good physically, then we're never going to get to how can I be a better person. So why do you think so many Americans are so unhealthy?
It's energy. So to me, you know, if I ask people what our most precious commodity is, most people will say money or time or friendship or family. And I say it's energy. And I've worked with billionaires, I've worked with movie stars, I've worked with, you know, famous models, I've worked with people that are so poor they barely have enough money to eat. The happiest people are the people who have enough energy, and the energy is not polluted with horrible programs. And I've worked with people who are incredibly wealthy and drop-dead gorgeous in every way, but that are not happy. And the reason is because their energy is too thin or it's confused. So I believe energy is our most precious commodity. When we have enough life force energy, we can handle our immune system can handle any illness that tries to come. We can handle any situation. We're still going to have, you know, somebody dies or something happens, we feel sad. We're still going to have those experiences. We're still going to make mistakes. We're human beings, and, you know, we make mistakes all the time. But if we have enough energy and we're getting our energy from the proper sources, and we're able to self-reference. So self-referencing is, how is this going to affect my energy if I make this phone call, or if I eat that cake, right? Or if I drink that beer, or snort that line, whatever it is that people do. And so I believe it's all about how much energy we have in our body, and then is our energy cleansing itself? No matter, you know, how much money we have or how much we go to the gym, if we don't have enough energy, We can't fight off our immune system can't fight off the diseases and the viruses and things like that. And if we don't have enough energy, we're not present in our life for the other people. So therefore we can't have fully functional, thriving relationships.
Right. So how do people go about getting, because I heard you say, if we're not getting it in the right place, how do people go about getting that energy? What do they need to do for themselves?
So there are several ways we can get our energy. I'll start with what we don't want to do. What most people do is they borrow from their energetic field that's around them, the aura. And you stick your arms out, your fingertips should be touching the edge of your field. Most people's fields are not that big. And if they are, they're thin on one side, or sometimes they're not centered in their field because they borrow energy from their field when they don't have enough energy.
Right.
So we have to stop borrowing energy from our field. And then worse than that, we borrow from our organs. Each organ has a healthy glow around it, and we can borrow and borrow from energy from it when we need it. Pretty soon we start having problems with whatever that organ is. We stop borrowing it. And that also means nicotine and caffeine and false. I love coffee. I have a cup of coffee every morning, and I go through stages where I don't, but I don't look at it as coffee is going to get me through the day. We should be getting our energy from live foods and from the sun and the earth. Now, the earth also has a field around it that's coherent that we can drink of all the time. We just got to get out of the apartments and the houses and go to nature, lay on the beach, lay in the forest, and just allow the earth to energize us, and it will. The same way that you can plug in your cell phone and charge it, we can plug our bodies into the earth. The grounding, all the different arts, yoga, qigong, martial arts, all the things that I've done in the past, all have grounding practices so that not only are we centered and grounded, but we're pulling energy up from the earth so that we don't have to borrow from anywhere else. And then the sun. Every single human being, according to Native American Tantra, has their own unique sun's ray that connects them to the sun. Now, we know energy can't be created or destroyed, but it can be multiplied, amplified, or weakened. Most people's connection to the earth and the sun are really, really weak because they don't give it any attention, and they're in buildings, and because their energy is chaotic and frenetic. So just sitting in silence and connecting with the sun, especially if you can get out in the sun, even 5 minutes a day, letting the sun shine on you and just let it come into the back of the brain and the back of the neck and connect with it and say, this is my sun's ray. I'm going to let this come with me everywhere I go. We get charged from above and below, and then we eat healthy live foods as much as possible, and we will have abundant amounts of energy. Then the other thing, which is my favorite piece of energetic mastery, is smiling. It takes 43 muscles in our face to frown. And when we're frowning, we send a signal to our body that something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And so our master gland sends a signal to millions upon millions of other glands in our body, and they all shrink up, and they do this, and they secrete a toxin. But when we're smiling, it only takes 17 muscles, and we're sending a signal to our master gland to tell everybody, everything is all right. And then those same glands plump up, and they have more energy around them, and they secrete a honey-like dew that's actually healthy for us. It helps us process energy, and it helps our body amplify the vibration of love and peace and harmony and the things that really make us healthy. Anger and stress deplete our energy like nothing else. And then eating processed foods. I'm not saying people have to eat vegetables all the time, but stay away from processed foods. And there's certain oils. I can't remember her name. There's a doctor, a woman, who calls them the hateful eight. It's like sesame seed oil. And there's like eight oils that what they do is they coat the fat cells, making them unburnable. So not only can you not burn the fat off for your looks and your health, how you want to be, but you can't access that energy. So if you're eating, you know, McDonald's and Burger King and KFC, you're probably getting a certain amount of oil that really hampers our ability to get the energy from the fat cells. We need fat because we need the energy. But if we can't use it, it's no good for us.
So I just want to put a shout out there to everyone listening that has heard me speak. I'm not crazy. I told you, look, did you hear what this man just said? I've been telling this to women for years. It's so nice to hear someone else say it out loud. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I am assuming that since you work with all of these that since you work with so many people, that you have workshops and classes and things on your website that people can access.
I do. I cut back a little bit on the workshops since COVID. Dr. Rima Bonaria, who you know, and I were in Egypt teaching a 12-day workshop when all the crazy happened. So we were supposed to be going to Europe and Denmark to teach more, but we put all that on hold. So now I'm going to be doing more online. I'm going to start doing masterminds, you know, lots of different online stuff. And I do have some stuff on my website online right now. And I have tons of free meditations you can find as well.
Beautiful. So, and we'll have the website listed on your page right below this video. Talk to us about the guided meditation that you're going to provide as a free gift.
The essentials meditation is the one I was thinking of. There's also self-love meditation, which is similar, but I'm going to talk about the essentials because it goes along with what we're talking about. The first thing we do is come into our body. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but we can have our energy in other places than our body. We can leave our energy in the past. And when we do that, it's like having a bunch of open windows on the computer. So we close all those windows by bringing all the energy back from the past. And sometimes you have to forgive people and forgive yourself for situations that have happened in order to do that. But in the essentials meditation, you bring all your energy home and then you send away any energy that's not yours. So, you know, often we have people that we care about who are in our field, no matter how beautiful they are, it doesn't matter who they are. If they are not you, that their energy in your field, it weakens your ability to be your highest functioning self, right? So then we're centered in our body and we ground, connect to the earth and all of the trees and plants and flowers by allowing the roots to spread out and connect. And this recruits the trees and plants and flowers to be part of our team, part of our family, so that we can speak the language of nature, which clearly states if you're either growing and thriving or you're atrophying and dying. They will help us stay grounded. They will help us get fresh energy. We also then we connect to the sun, same way, bringing in our own unique sun's ray. And then we bring awareness to where our edge is. And then we strengthen our edge. We should be in the center of our egg-shaped field, and we should have no holes or pores or cracks or nooks anywhere. Our field's edge should be solid. And then we template the earth. You know, right now, the earth is spinning at 7,000 miles an hour and hurling through space at 9,000. But the edge creates such safety for us that we feel like we're sitting still. Billions of things burn up before they hit the edge, and some bounce off. So we template that. Now, things that don't serve us are going to burn up before they hit our edge, and anything that gets through is going to bounce off. So unwanted energy doesn't come into our field. And then we activate all of our chakras, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And then we activate, we bring in the smiling, activate the pituitary and pineal glands and all the master glands in our brain. We open up our crown chakra to template our higher self, which is actually the perfect version of ourself because it doesn't have the human part that makes us make so many mistakes. There's pure love and light and a lot of intention. Now, there's one of the gurus I used to read a lot about, Saikuli Baba, he said that above our head is our soul, and our soul is a spark of light, and you can't judge it by its size, because if you took a follicle hair off of your arm, not a strand, but a follicle, and you cut it into 1,000 pieces, one of those 1,000 pieces would be about the size of our soul, and it's up in the 8th chakra above our head, and the sun hits it, and the moon hits, everything hits, and it projects our life for us. Our body, how we are, depending upon the DNA print and all of that. So we have to give that attention. So part of it is, you know, bringing that energy into our body and knowing that there's a part of us that's a true spark of divinity. And also knowing that, chemically speaking, we have the same chemicals in our body as stardust and as the earth and the sun, and that we're all one whole family. Regardless of where we were brought up and, you know, what our political or religious beliefs are, we're all the same. We came from the same place. So this meditation is an embodied experience of being fully present and having these little pieces in place so that we can really sense our wholeness and our oneness with the universe.
Dang, I can't wait to sample that. So you told me before we got on today that you have a new book coming out. You want to share with us what that's about?
Yes. It's called Soldier of Love, a Blueprint for Thriving in Chaotic Times. And this book is a reach out and a wake-up call to people like us and probably the people watching your shows. Mm-hmm. People who really believe that we're here to make a difference, not just to live, but to empower others and to make this planet a better place. People who care about the planet Earth and all the people on it. And I've done a lot of work to get to where I am in life. And I've done a lot of work with Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi and Deepak Chopra. And I've created systems that allow people to make a really comfortable living while making a great difference. So it's a story, but it's mostly lessons on how to fully gain the perspective to have very healthy, functional life, relationships with ourselves and each other, and then how to embody the practices that will allow us to be the highest functioning versions of ourselves, and then to teach other people to do the same.
Beautiful. Oh, when does that come out?
September 7th.
Oh, okay. I'm excited. So can you, is there any way people can get a sneak peek of that, or will that be coming out? I just want I don't want it to get off people's radar. So if there's something a link or something you can send me to just remind them so that when it hits, because that's something I know everyone's going to want to get their hands on.
Yeah. Rima can definitely send you that link. She does, her Perfect. And my manager are working together on that. Mm-hmm. And people can just write me, and my name is my website, tjportel.com.
Right. And we'll have that on the page. TJ, this has been a delight. It's just been so informative and so refreshing to hear all of this information from someone in the masculine realm. So thank you. Thank you for being on the planet. Thank you for joining us and sharing all of your wisdom with us. I can't wait to learn more.
Good. I can't wait to teach more.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.